Okay, we're holding on Chaf Aleph. We did the Mishnah. You know, let's just go to Mishnah again and just get back into the sugya. So Chana Shebechotzer, you have a person wants to open up his own like a store in his chotzer. The other inhabitants of the chotzer could make a machal. They could approach and say to him, "Eini yachol lishon, I can't sleep. Mikol ha-nichnosim, mikol ha-yotzim, because people are coming in and out, all the traffic, too much. It's going to bother me. That's not normal usage. Aval ose kelim, but he could make kelim in his own house. V'yotzim moichem b'toch ha-shuk, and he can go out and sell those things that are going to be producing in his house. The guy, his neighbor can't protest and say to him, I can't sleep. Because of the hammer that you're banging with in your house. Because of the mill that's being used in your house. And because of the sound of the children, right? They're you know, in the house. These all things are normal, so then you can't make a machal. Okay, so the Rishonim discussed a little bit what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. We're going to start the Gemara now. Maishna, Reisha, Maishna, Seifa. What's the Chiluk that you can prevent in the Chotzer, because the noise is going to prevent a person, but in the Seifa, when you can't protest if he's doing stuff inside his house. So Amar Bai, Seifa, Asin, the Chotzer, Acheres. In the Seifa, you can't stop them doing something it's like connected. It's a chotzer that's near where you live. So Amalei Rav says to him, that's pshat. Ihochi listening chotzer acheres. So why didn't the Mishnah say if it's in a chotzer acheres mutter? Right, you could do it. Right, the Mishnah didn't say that. So he rejects it. Says Allah, Amalei Rav must be now on the top of a Aleph. Seifa aslan nitnokas shel beis Rabban. We're talking about a case of the Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban. You're teaching school children. And if you want to open up a yeshiva, you want to open up a cheder to teach children, so then the neighbors can't protest and say that this noise of the children learning, that's gonna disturb them. The Ramban writes that there's a limit to this. You know, it has to be 50. 50 students is that. Right? And then importantly, it says right, this is talking about after the Gemara is going to explain, but after the tikkun that he made. Okay, we'll go. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the Ram Zocher Oso Ish Latov. We should remember. We really should remember that man for good. Yoshua ben Gamla Shmo. His name is Yoshua ben Gamla. She'il malehu nishtakach Torah Yisrael. If it hadn't been for him, the Torah would be forgotten from the Klal Yisrael. You have similar sugas like this in Bava Metzia, where it names certain individuals about, I think Rabbi Chia used to get to catch the deer and skin them and make write a sefer Torah for each one of the Talmidim. So here we have to figure out what exactly was that Yehoshua ben Gamla did. What is it? It says the Gemara, Shepetechila, originally it used to be as follows. Mishi Yeshlo Av, a person who had a father, Melamda Torah, he would teach him Torah. Mishi Eino Av, a person that didn't have an Av, Lo Hayalami Torah, he wouldn't learn Torah. My Dorish, so what did they... what was the drush they made in order to do this? V'limadetem osam, right? You should teach osam to your sons. V'limadetem atem. This is right. There's osam's out of vav, so you can read it as atem. You should teach. Fathers should teach your sons. So the Chasam Sofer speaks out on this, that it can't be that people who didn't have a father, Rachmanu Litzlan, didn't have a father, didn't learn Torah. It just means it wasn't an institutionalized thing, as we're going to see, right? Fine, I'm going to keep going for you to do the Tosos. So, his kiddushu moshivin melandi tinokus b'Yerushalayim. So when they saw that not everyone was really going to be able to learn, the system wasn't working, so they set up a system that the melandi tinokus, the kid people teaching, went in Yerushalayim. My dorsh, what's the pasuk they saw to set it up in Yerushalayim? Ki mitzion teitzei sora. Because the pasuk in Shayahu, that the Torah, the goyim are going to see that the Torah comes from when Mashiach comes, and the instruction comes from now from Eretz Yisrael. From Eretz Yisrael, it's in particular in Yerushalayim. V'dayim yishyesh lo av, hayamalo milamdo. So still, people who had a father, his father would take him to Yerushalayim and teach him. V'she'enah, the person nevach didn't have a father, lo haya ole v'lamit, he wouldn't go be ole regli, he wouldn't go up to Yerushalayim, and he wouldn't teach for him. So therefore, his kinashim moshivim b'chol plach l'plach. They used to set up now in every single region they would have, not just in Yerushalayim. U'machnisin oso given sheish esrei ven sheva esrei. They would bring them at ages of 16, they would bring them at the ages of 17, right? So the Rishonim point out that because they had to travel far, you had to be a little bit older in order to make the journey. So this is the Tosa I want to do on. It's the third Tosa. It says Kimitzion Teitzei Sora, right? That's the idea. Lefi Shehay Roe Kedusha Gedola. The person would go to Yerushalayim would see an amazing Kedusha that was there in that place. It was such an inspiration for them. Kohanim Oiskim Bavoda, they would see the Kohanim who were like sitting in Kolel, and when they weren't learning, they were doing the Avoda in Beis HaMikdash. Hayamechave Libo Yosef Yerushalayim Lom Torah. This would be inspiration for the person that they want to learn more and increase the Yerushalayim, right? Darshina b'sifri, as the sifri says, leman tilma liyira, you should learn yira, right? Godol meiser sheni shemevi le talmud. Right, when people come to bring their meiser sheni, someone in the family was going to be bringing the meiser sheni to Yerushalayim, and they would see this, and they would become such a hisurus. The gishai o maybe Yerushalayim ad yochel meiser sheni shelo v'haya roish shekulam oiskim b'leches shemayim b'avoda. They see a big ovdei Hashem there. Hayagam hu mechavi niyira shemayim v'osek b'torah. So this was the This was the inspiration why they would you know set these things up, and then you know as the Mefarshim point out, when a person travels to Yerushalayim, it's like a Shabbaton. It's like it's an inspirational. It's a seminar. It's something that brings out the best in a person. You know when you're rubbing shoulders with Gedolim, when you have an encounter with a Rebbe, with an Adam Gadol, this brings out the best in the person and brings them to a place of inspiration. Okay, now. So the problem is like this, though. If you first start sitting them down and learning when they're 16 or 17, so what's been up till now? What were we doing the first 15, 16 years of their life? So the Gemara says, Umisha hayarabo koisolav, right? When you had a little, when they were younger than this, and the Rebbe got angry at him, mevata bo v'yotze, he would just kick and rebel, and he would leave. He went, you didn't have any... We draw to pull them in to keep these young children there. So therefore, that was the situation that was before this Yeshua ben Gamla came, and he made a tzakana. Shehu moshivin melamde tinokas b'chol medina b'chol ir ve'ir u'machnisin osun k'ben sheish k'ben sheva. So now he came and made a new deal that now you have to have melamde tinokas in every single province, in every single town, and they're not going to wait till they're 16 or 17. They're going to chaperai, they're going to start learning when they're 6 or when they're 7. Right? So now, just the context, when this, we're talking about, this is the system that was set up as a public policy. So now, if you wanted to make a cheder, you wanted to make a place for the melamde tinokos, so therefore the neighbor can't protest and complain that I don't want this noise. Again, we saw from the Ramban said there's a limit, you know, 50 people, then you can't stop them from teaching them in your chatzar. Okay, so now since we see that the, you know, 6 or 7 was the Iraq, Tosos points out whether it was they're healthy or whether they're weak. So the Gemara says, Amale Rav L'Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas Ad Shis Otekabel. Up till 6, you know, don't take. You know, you can't push a kid. You know, lahavdil. Parents ask me about, you know, what age can I start my child giving guitar lessons to? So I tell them about the same thing, about 6 or 7, because before, first of all, his fingers aren't strong enough. But a kid has to be a kid. You know, except for special exceptions, you can't push a kid. It's the same to lahavdil. By learning Torah, you know, they said by 6, you can't. It's too young. He won't be able to, you know, to really maintain it. From this point on, you can accept them and you stuff them with Torah like an ox, meaning just, you know, as much as they can swallow. When you hit a kid, you should hit him just like with a shoelace, right? Like the strap of a sandal. It's small. It doesn't hurt. And lemaisa, all of the poskim say now, we don't hit. You know, in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has, I think it's in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov, but they bring down in his name that whenever the, you know, the previous generations, when you hit a kid, if you hit a kid, he was coming back to yeshiva the next day. He'd be there, he'd still come back. There was no other alternatives or options. It was a different culture, it was a different society. Nowadays, you know, like the song goes, only with love. You can only bring kids towards Torah with this, with the patch and the hit. It doesn't work. Lamaisa just doesn't work anymore. But in the time, it says when you're hitting, it should be a time to cause pain. It should be like Arkasa de Misana, like the small little smack. Dukari Kari. If he reads, he should be on his own. Dulokar, if he doesn't let him, he doesn't know how to read, so lehevei tzavto lechavre. He should be like a companion to his friends. They're going to encourage him to read. Okay. Mace, they'll ask you a kasha. You're talking about in a chotzer. The Gemara says you're allowed to make a small little cheder over there to teach them. In the his neighbors can't do anything to protest. So the Mace ve echad mibnei chotzer shabikesh le'asois rofe. If a person wants to become a doctor, an uman, a bloodletter, the gardi, a person who like weaves cloth. Or if you're going to be teaching children, you could stop him, right? So you see clearly that they can stop this person from entering into that profession, from teaching them. So one says, one second, Hachem Ayaskina, what are we talking about, right? When are they allowed to protest being Malamdi Tinokas? But Tinokas de Goyim, that's teaching Goyim. Right, there's no mitzvah to teach them. So in this, that's the case they can do it. So this is an interesting, you know, discussion about what is the gender of teaching Torah to Goyim. We have a contradiction. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, I believe it's on Nun Zayin. It's around the Nun Vav Nun Zayin. Says there's a stira that if a goy learns Torah, he's chayv misa. No, if a goy learns Torah, he's like the Kohen Gadol. So no, the Gemara says it's not a kasha. One's talking about when he's learning, you know, his own Sheva Mitzvos. If a goy who's learning his Sheva Mitzvos, then he's like a Kohen Gadol. He's doing exactly what Kosh Baruch Hu wants to do. If he's learning like real dinim, so then that's the case where he's Chayv Misa. So I remember once my friend Rabbi Zev Reichman was giving classes in the city, and he went to Rav Schechter and he asked him, you know, Goyim were coming, and like I think the name of his class or series was giving like the 7 habits of highly spiritual people, something along the lines, like, you know, about Chesed and Gevurah. And he asked Rav Schechter, is that a problem of teaching these concepts to Goyim, you know, like philosophy, Yiddishkeit, you know, had a more meaningful life? Rav Schechter said, no, that's not called Torah. That the Torah means like dinim. That was the real prohibition against teaching it. But you can go online, you have the Ask Noah website, asknoah.org. It's a website that's designed to teach Goyim about their Sheva Mitzvahs. And there's an Indian, Lubavitcher Rebbe, had a very famous campaign. There was a speech prepared by Dr. Nissim Mendel. It was supposed to be delivered at the UN to talk about how different the world would look if the Goyim kept their Sheva Mitzvahs. But it's interesting, this Gemara is talking about when can they protest. It's when we talk about the Tinokas to Goyim. So again, maybe it's not talking about teaching the Torah. Maybe it's just talking about, secular subjects. But the Rishon point out, it would be the same halacha over here, right? If you're teaching Jewish children non-Torah subject, you're teaching them secular, teaching them the Mudei Chol, then they could protest that. The only time they can protest is when you're teaching Jews Torah. Fine. Tashma. Comes a braisa. Shtaim sheyoshvin bechatzer. 2 people are sitting in a chatzer. They live in the chatzer, literally, right? Ubikesh echa mehem le'asos roife. One of them wants to become a doctor. Uman, a bloodletter. A guardi is the weaver. Milamit tinokos. Chaveru ma'akibala. He could stop him. He could stop him. So hachalam bitokos to goyim. Same thing. Same answer. The braisa we're talking about is teaching goyishik children. Tashma, mi sheyesh lo bayis bechotzer hashutofin. If a person has a house in a jointly owned chotzer, hareze lo yaskirenu lo lerofe v'lo leuman v'lo legarde v'lo lesoifrei yehudi, right? V'lo lesofer aramoy. So the people he's not allowed to rent it out to, the doctor, bloodletter, weaver, a Jewish teacher is a sofer, or to a sofer aramoy, it means a Gentile, a non-Jewish teacher, right? So what do you see from here? This again shows that you could stop from teaching Torah to Jewish children. No, we're talking here about the sofer masa. The sofer masa is not the actual teacher. He's like the way someone explains, like the administrator. He's the one who he's overseeing everything. That's not really, you know, he's more like, it's more like a bureaucracy, right? He's the one who has to, people need to him, they're coming to him. So that's what it means. That's when you can be ma'akiv and stop him from doing his work in that chatzer. So that's the type of melamed one could stop. It's called a sofer masa. Okay, now since we talked about Yoshua ben Gamliel, so the Gemara is going to continue us. Amarava, mitakanat Yoshua ben Gamliel ve'elach, from that time and onwards, right? Meaning that you had to have a Malam Tzokas in every single Jewish town. Lo mantena yunuka mimas lamasa. Therefore, a child shouldn't be brought from one town to another. But from one shul to another shul, then you could. The maspak nahara lo matminan. If there's a river that's between them, so don't have them cross. Right, it could be dangerous to have the children cross the river. The ika torah matminan. If there's a bridge, then they could do that. The ika gamla lo matminan. If there's only a narrow bridge, a gamla here means something that's it's a special type of bridge, right? It can't handle big traffic or something like that. It's basically like one or two little beams. That imagine like a log bridge or something like that. So in that case, it says the Gemara, lo mantina, don't bring them to cross that, because again, we're concerned about the danger over here. The Amarava sach makre dardike esrim b'chamish yinuke. The maximum number of students you could have for one teacher is esrim v'chamish yinuke, right? For the number of toys. We have an open house, so parents always ask him, what's the teacher-to-student ratio in the classroom? They want to know, what's that like? I remember the first year I was in Rav Simon Shir. So I was by Shabbos. We were learning Kiddushin. That was 1996. And by Shabbos by Rabbi Willig. So he asked me, how many boys were in the Shir? So I said, we have 25. He said, perfect. Perfect, that's the perfect number. Okay, I don't know if Rav Willig was referring to this Gemara, but that's what it's talking about right here, 25. Ve'ika chamshin, if there's 50 in one place, then most vinan trade. You have to have two teachers, right? Each one gets 25. Ve'ika arbain, if there's 40 children, then mokminan resh duchana. You should have like an assistant for him. U'mesayin le mimasa, and he gets help from the people of the town to help pay the schar, for the salary for the assistant. Let's say you have one person who teaches he teaches a few subjects, right? There's another teacher, he teaches more subjects. We don't remove the first Rebbe to hire the second one, right? Dilma asil israshule, because maybe the other one's going to come to israshlus, means he's going to become content or less negligent. But there's no competition. You see, the competition forces people to it works. Capitalism. Competition works. It causes people to rise to the level. Rav Dimi min hadoy amar kol shekein degaris tfei. Right. Certainly, if he's going to teach in a better way, because he's the only one there, kina soifrim tar behachma, because when you have a lot of jealousy amongst them, it's going to cause more chachma to be done. The one who's getting fired, meaning, let's speak this out, Reniva said that you should fire him, right? Because if one who's got fired because he's not keeping up with the contemporary pedagogical techniques, so he's still trying to give the same style of shir he gave 50 years ago, and the Talmidim don't like that type of shir, whatever it is, he's not learning well anymore, so it prevents him from getting comfortable. So that's what he says. Omarava hani tre makri didarike. Let's say you have two, this is what I was thinking about a second ago, you have two different rebbeim, two styles of teaching. Chad garis v'daik. One of them covers a lot of material, but he's not medaik so much. So he doesn't correct them and make mistakes. Chad daik v'garis. The other one is very precise with them. He corrects them, but they don't cover so much ground. So says Rava, mosvinan hahu de garis v'daik. We take the one who covers a lot of ground and is not so particular to that read. She beshta memela nafko, because shibush means like a mistake. Memela, it's corrected by itself. Right? There's no long lasting. Lessing harm, right? Rav Dimi bin Hadoy Amar, no, Masvin and Daik Vilgar is the opposite. You should put the one who's Medaik with them and not the one who covers all ground. It's better to learn a little bit, but learn it correctly. Shabeshta came into Al, because once it goes in, it's in. You can't really correct it, right? How do you see Raya for this? Tichsi, Kisheshis, Chadoshim, Yoshev, Sham, Yoav, Vachol Yisrael, Ad Hichris, Kol Zohar, Be'edom. Yoav and all the people there for 6 months, they killed all the males of Edom. He asked the kaimi to David, and then Yoav comes before David after this whole thing. Amalei, of the days, my taima, Abchochi, why did you do this? Why did you only kill out the Zechorim? So Amalei, you see, Yoav answers back. Because the pasuk says, Timcha is Zochar Amalek. He darshan the pasuk. You should wipe out the remembrance. Zochar, just the males of Zochar, right? Only that, those are big from Edom. So Amalei, so David says to Yoav, Ha'anan Zecher Krinan. We don't read the word as Zochar, right? We read it as Zecher, right? Again, Machlokas is Zecher or Zecher, but it doesn't mean we don't read a zohar, right? No one says that. So we should read, you should wipe out the remembrance of that. So Amalei on a zohar akrin. One second. When I was taught to pronounce the word zohar, right? So you see from the trouble mistake, because his Rebbe wasn't so medactic with him, he learned it incorrectly, and that led to a wrong, a very wrong action. So also shyly the rabbi, so he went and he went to go teach his, he went back to his third grade Rebbe to go ask him, how did he learn Pshat in the Pasuk? How did you teach us? He says, Amalei, Hech akrisam? How are we supposed to read this word? So Amalei zecher. He says, I read it as zecher, right? The teacher said it the right way, but he didn't notice that he had a Talmud who was not pronouncing it correctly, right? Yoav. So Shakel safsere miktele. So Yoav took out his sword. He wanted to kill him. So Amalei, the Rebbe says to him, why do you want to kill me? So Amalei says, Dichtiv, Ar oisim aleches Hashem remiah. Cursed is the one who does trickery with Hashem, you know, doing the work of Hashem with the way you're trickering. It's pasuk in Yirmiyahu, right? So you see from here that the Malam Tinokas is the one who is Osem Aleches Hashem, right? If he's negligent, he doesn't stay on top of his talmidim to make sure that he's they're developing correctly and stuff like that, right? So then he has to be careful that. My Charev was telling me that Baram Belzer didn't want the Rebbeim to come to his tish. Felt that they couldn't stay up that late. They should get a good night's sleep so that they could be able to be on top of their talmidim, right? So you see here, it says, Or oisim leches Hashem remia. So Amalei, the Rebbe says back to him, Shavki lahu gavre de lekum be'oror. So maybe leave that man alone, meaning just curse me, right? You don't have to kill me. So Amalei ksiv says, Oror monea charbo midam. Curse is the one who keeps his sword from blood. Ikad de amri, some say katle. Some say that really Yoav did kill him. He could amrei lo katlein. Some say that Yoav didn't kill him. But whether he actually killed him or not, but you see from here that the person should be, a Rebbe should be medactic and make sure that his Talmidim are learning and understanding it correctly. You know, to have it's something more in Sanhedrin, which talks about the importance of a Rebbe enunciating his words correctly so the Talmidim can understand. But the opposite is also true. The Rebbe has to make sure the Talmidim are understanding it correctly. Fine. Amarava Makre Yanuka. The one who teaches the children, Shatala, a person who plants trees, Tabach is a shochin, a butcher, umana, bloodletter, right? For so for Masan, we said this was like the administrator of the town, Kulan Kimusrin Vaimdin Ninhu. All of them are considered to have been warned already. Call the milsa, the general rule is like follows, meaning you don't have to give them musr to do their job correctly. If they mess up in their job, they can be fired immediately. Klal de milsa, the klal is kol pseida lav hoder, any lacking thing that will not be able to come back, it's irreversible, musra v'oimidhu. They're already considered to be warned, and you don't have to give them an individual warning themselves. Alma Ravuna, hai bar mevo'u de'oke rechaya. There's a certain person who in his alleyway he set up a mill, for also bar mevo'u chavre v'kamoke gabe. So then another one came up and said that his next to him, Dinahu de Ma'akiv Yuloi. The halacha is he could stop him from doing what he wants to. The Amalei, because he could say to him, Kapaskat le lechayuse, you're harming my parnasa. You're taking away my customers. So again, just the theme of this parak is how far you have to go to distance yourself from harming someone else. So now he says, Lema Masayin le marchikin metsuda sadag min hadag kimlo ritza sadag. So let's say this price goes according, this is a good raya for the one who says you can't set up your fish trap right next to somebody else's because you have to go as far as Ritzat Sadag, as far as the fish travels, from that far. Vikama, how far is that? What's the distance that a fish would really travel? So meaning, and then before you can't set up in his vicinity. Amarava Barbarachuna ad Parsa, up to a Parsa. It's a few miles. I think we looked in Parsa when we were doing the Sugya of Tefilas Aderech. I think, I want to say it's like 3 miles. I don't remember off the top of my head. So shiny dog. No, dogim are different than this. Why? They look around. Pardon the pun. They fish around. They look around. The fish, they explore an area, right? They show them where to go. So once they go into the first trap, they're not going to go near the second trap. So that's why this case of the fish is different. Only Ravina l'Rava. Lame, should we say? Rav Huna da Amar Kirab Yehuda. That Rav Huna is going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like we learned. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo yechalik chenvani klayos le'egoizim tinokos. A storekeeper shouldn't it's not an incentive, give out little grain, toasted nuts and stuff like that to children till they'll come to the store. Why? Because it makes them margilin. Here's the English of regular. It makes them they come to him regularly now, right? So he says you can't do it. The chachamim matirin, but the chachamim allow this. You could give a little incentive. Put a little candy out by your store that the kids gonna want to come to shop there. This is competition, right? So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, this type of competition is not allowed. That would also, be the same halacha would apply to this case about setting up the mill close by. So Mar says, no, I feel the tamer abonin. I could even say that Rav Huna's din, right, about not setting up the mill would go into the sheet of Rabbanim. Why is that? How's the Gemara say? So Abka no pligi Rabbanim aleh de Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Really, they argued Hossam over there, right, in the case. Why? Because he can say to his store, his store competitor, the Amra le ana kamfalina amaguze, right? If I do the right, if I give out these types of nuts or something like that, atlok shuske, you could give out almonds, right? If I give walnuts, you'll give almonds, something like that, right? Meaning like this, you can give other things, but here, right? By setting up the case of the rechaya, the millstone there, avahacha afilu rabbanon mogdu. In this case, even the rabbanon would agree to amalei kapaskalei chayusi, that you're harming my livelihood, right? Because beforehand, anybody who needed had their stuff ground up, they would come to me, and now you gave them another option. So Meisfeil ask you a kasha, oise adam chanus betzad chanuso shel chavero. A person could put a shop right up next to another one. And we're talking about Hasagas Kabul now over here. Merchatz betzad merchatzo shel chavero. You can put a bath house right up next to the bathhouse of your competition. Ve'ini yachal imchos biyado. And you can't protest. Right? Mibnei she yachal loimalo. Because the one who just came and set up his business right next to him, he can say to him, ata oise betoch shelcho, vani oise betoch sheli. Right, you do your thing, and I'll do my thing. You work in your space, and I'll work in mine. So really, the Gemara says, Tanahi, this is a machlokas Tanoin. Netanya, koyfi b'nei mevos ze shelo lehoshi b'neihim lo chayit v'lo bursaki, v'lo melamitinokos v'lo echa b'nei bale umonos. So the residents of the Mavui can force each other to agree not to allow a tailor or a tanner or teaching a rebbe or anyone who bale umnos, any type of craftsman. They're allowed to stop any outsiders from coming in their mavli. So lishchena ena kofia, but they can't do the neighbor, the one who already lives there, right, to stop what he's doing. So it's really the outsiders you can't have, but the inside one who's there already, they can't be kofi, they can't do it. No, even the neighbor, right, they can force him not to do this type of malacha, his parnasa like that in the mavui. So we would come out, what would it be? Rav Huna, who at the beginning said that you can stop him from setting up his rechaya, his millstone, he's going like the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Yeah? So, Om Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yoshua, Pshitali, it's so obvious to me, Barmasa, Abarmasa, Achriti, Matimakiv, one resident of the town could stop another resident of the town from setting up, a similar business. These type of shadows come up all the time if there's an issue of Hasagas Kavul. Ve'ishaychvi, Karga de Hocha, and if he pays the tax of the first town, right, then that case, Lomotzim Akiv, he can't prevent them from doing business there because he's also considered to be like a resident. You pay the taxes. Bar Mavo'o, a Bar Mavo'o de Nafshe, the resident in the same Mavui can't stop the resident, Lomotzim Akiv, he can't stop him from doing a similar type of parnasa there. That goes like the Rabbonin in the Brisa, and it's against the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So it comes out, that's what it says, Tanahi, right, as to when you're allowed to stop them, when you're not allowed to stop them. Okay, so, holding this, keeping this in mind, Boy Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yoshua, Bar Mevoa, Bar Mevoa, Achrina, Mai. What's the din if you have, the guy lives in one Mavoi, and he has somebody in a different Mavoi, right, he wants to stop him from doing his business, what's the din? Sateku. The Gemara says, it's unresolved, we don't have an answer, to that question. Om Rav Yosef, Umodi, Rav Huna, Bimakri Dardike, Lomatsi Makid. Yosef said, Rav Huna, again, who said you can't put up the mill, he's masking, he agrees in the case with, for the teaching the Tinokos that you can't stop him. The Amar Mar, because he said, Ezra tikin lehen Yisrael shihu moshivin soifer betzad soifer. Ezra himself set up that for the Jewish people that they should have a, here sofer doesn't mean like the one who writes tefillin, it means a teacher. You should have one teacher right next to him. That raises the standard. When you have a lot of Rebbeim out there, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, you have so many Talmidei Chachamim. In Lakewood, you have so many Talmidei Chachamim. So the standard is so high. The Rebbe, to be a good Rebbe, so you have to be, you know, the top notch. So when it says, one second, V'nechesh Dilma Asil Yisrael Shulei. So we saw earlier that we have to be concerned that you know, people are going to become complacent and they're going to become negligent. They're not going to be working on that. So Amalei, and on top of the Amar Aleph, Kina Soifrim Tarbe Chochma. This is the idea that when you have jealousy amongst the Soifrim, amongst Talmidei Chachamim, this is going to increase the Chochma. So therefore, you do not have to be worried about that they're going to be negligent. They're going to stay on the top of their game in order to constantly be the best Rebbe that is, whether that's in pedagogical techniques, whether it's in preparing the sugya better, when it's figuring out the alternative methods of assessment, whatever it is to make the person a successful Rebbe, they're going to do it, and you don't have to worry about it. That's what Ezra said, Moshiv and Soifer, Bitzad Soifer. Okay, Emir Tashem, we'll pick it up next year with Chaf Beis.